This is Laura Deirdre with the Becker Spine and Orthopedic Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Dr. Rohit Verma, an orthopedic spine surgeon at Northwell Health in Long Island in New York. Dr. Verma, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm really glad that I was able to make this for today. So I'm excited to discuss all the latest and greatest that's happening in my practice and specifically here at Northwell Health in Long Island.
Oh, great. I know there's a ton going on. So can you tell a little bit more about yourself and your background?
Sure. So I'm an orthopedic spine surgeon. I'm an immigrant to this country. I came here like around when I was six or seven and grew up in Queens and in Long Island area. And as I was growing up, I got very much interested in medicine through my family, but also I was a former track and field athlete, and I dealt with a lot of injuries myself, and that's what got me interested in orthopedic, and did my training here at Northwell Health, or back then it was called North Shore LIJ. And as I was going through my training, I got very much interested in spine surgery through my mentors, who are now my partners, and did some fellowship training additionally in Los Angeles, California. And then I came back to the Northwell system as a orthopedic spine surgeon, and I've been with the system ever since, I want to say approximately 2009. And then pretty much my bread and butter practice is degenerative conditions for the cervical, thoracic, and lumbar spine. And I enjoy what I do, and it's always great to see how things have changed over time, specifically since when I started as a fellow to where I am today.
Absolutely. I know it's been quite a decade plus since, you know, joining, I guess, like you said, starting as a fellow and then joining Northwell. So so interested to hear your perspective. Now, what are the top three trends that you're following in healthcare today?
Sure. So the top three things I would say are robotics, minimally invasive surgery, and outpatient surgery. And those are the three things that are cutting edge that I myself have made a huge transition in the past year.
Got it. Absolutely. So when you think about making that transition, especially, you know, for kind of the degenerative and cervical spine cases, what has really been, you know, motivated you to do that? And then were there any challenges or surprises that came your way, especially when moving outpatient?
Sure. So, you know, in the past year, you know, as the pandemic happened, our health system started to change after we restarted doing our surgeries. And basically from a resource standpoint, a lot of these cases that I was doing in the main hospital, they could very well easily be done in our ambulatory surgery center on site. We just had to make sure that the infrastructure was there to care for our patients before we made that transition. So by having a 23-hour facility with overnight staff and making sure that patients who get care there are well cared for overnight if they need to stay there overnight and then be discharged in the morning. So that was somewhat of a change for the culture of the ambi center that's on the site itself. And that ambulatory surgery center had to make those changes from, you know, hiring people to do the overnight shifts and then also making sure that we had an in-house PA who can help monitor our orthopedic patients. And if there's any emergencies, everything is within a few minutes away because our hospital is right there.
Got it. That makes a lot of sense and really sounds like it's convenient for the surgeons' staff as well as the patients. Yep. You know, are there any procedures that you see continuing as time goes on to go into the outpatient space that maybe today are still inpatient?
Yeah, so basically I'm right now doing laminectomies, discectomies, and cervical disc replacements and anterior cervical discectomy infusions. But my next goal is to transition doing minimally invasive spinal fusion procedures in the lumbar spine. But in order to do that, I have to have all the right equipment and everything there. So that's the next phase of what I'm looking to do.
Got it. And, you know, from the health system level, have they been, you know, pretty supportive in terms of being able to get that type of equipment that you need in order to transition those cases to the outpatient space so far for the ones that have gone there? Or is it, you know, a lot of back and forth in order to get things in place and be able to safely perform cases in the ASC?
No, the health system is actually very supportive and they want to help move these cases out there because if you get rid of some of these smaller, simpler cases that can be done in an outpatient setting, it opens it up for larger procedures that need to be done within a hospital setting. So they're on board and they see the value in it. And I see the value in it and I think it's great. And, you know, patients are motivated to, you know, get in and out as quickly as you can. So if we have the technology and the ability to do it, they would like that.
That's great to hear, especially as patients are, becoming more aware, I guess, of the opportunities with some of the outpatient spine procedures, that they're not too hesitant on it, but really, excited to be able to go home within 24 hours.
Right.
Well, I know you mentioned too in your trends, robotics as well as minimally invasive spine techniques. Could you tell me a little bit more about the devices and technology trends that you're seeing there and what's really been kind of on the forefront of promising technology from your perspective?
Sure. So robotics is something that I decided to make a shift in transition after the pandemic. And if you asked me about a year or two ago before the pandemic, what do I think about robotics and navigation, I would tell you it's for a surgeon who's not competent. But at this time, I will tell you it's been a change in how I think. It's been a change in how I do my procedures now. And it's been amazing, a great transition. And I could not imagine placing these screws in patients without the robot, the Mazor robot, which I use in my practice. And the reason that I made these changes and the help that it's gotten for me is the following. Number one, you have increased precision and accuracy. And number two, you're planning everything ahead of time. And by doing that, it allows you to line up all the screws in perfect position and get them in perfect position. And it becomes the easiest part of the operation. Most lumbar spine surgeries are composed of two procedures, a laminectomy and a spinal fusion. And now the spinal fusion procedure has become so automated and automatic that it's become more reproducible. And there's no struggle in it. It's just very easy to do at this point. And so that's been a hugely beneficial part of relearning how to do these procedures by using this tool that's available to me now. And then the second aspect of that, really helpful for an orthopedic spine surgeon, is that when we place these screws, there's an ergonomic associated with putting these screws in at multiple levels. I now have the ability to use power, and I know that I'm targeted in a perfect direction, so I can just target and place these screws very quickly. So that's been the benefits of it. And then from a minimally invasive aspect, the procedure, because we can map out exactly where the screw is going to be placed, I know the incision length before I do it. And I can make the places where I'm going to be inserting these screws into a very small incisional area. So those are the huge advantages associated with it.
Got it. That makes a ton of sense. And it was really interesting to hear, especially kind of your mindset shift in using robotics. What was the thing that, made you first initially kind of decide, hey, I want to try this, or this would be a good idea? Was there a moment, or was it a gradual transition?
I would say that, I went to a lot of courses where some doctors were talking about robotics, and robotics has been around in the past decade. But the robot that I came to encounter, I felt as though it hit all the right things in terms of how it functions and how it works. And I felt this was the perfect time because it had gotten to a point where it could make reproducible results consistently, and it would potentially be time neutral with how I was doing cases before utilizing the robot. And that's what I've achieved over time now, is that I've become time neutral to the surgeon I was in the past with increased accuracy and results.
Got it. So it's more about the technology developments versus, anything else when it comes to deciding to make that leap.
Right.
Perfect. All right. So those are some of the technologies that are really up and coming, it sounds like. From your perspective, is there anything out there right now that you think is all hype or, at this point, not really ready for prime time?
There's endoscopic spine surgery, which some doctors are using, and it's beginning to catch favor around the country, but I'm not 100% sold on it just yet.
Got it. So something that you still need to, see the benefits or the technology advancement before you feel comfortable implementing it?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
Got it. Perfect. Well, the last question I have for you today is, what are you most excited about right now, and what makes you nervous?
So what makes me most excited about, and this is going to go back to some technology that's on the horizon, right now we're using robotics in spine surgery, and the next phase of development is going to be an augmented reality system where a surgeon can have a headset on that allows you to visualize the patient, and then as we're putting in and doing the work, we are able to, kind of like a fighter pilot who sits in his chair and has his helmet on, and he can see the CAT scan and the MRI of the patient, and that's on the horizon, and that technology really excites me. And so I'm looking forward to see where these things are going to evolve to, because that's really the next level that I'm looking forward to. And I'm always nervous about, as spine care evolves and expands, You know, there's always the insurance aspect of things where there are limit care or limit access to care or limit procedures that are very helpful to patients. And I always find that to be a challenge as time goes along with a lot of denials and me getting on the phone and talking to the doctors. And I just see an uptrend in that as time has gone by. And that's a shame because I've definitely had some patients over time who need surgical care, but they're being denied the surgical care by the insurance carrier.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think, as you mentioned, you know, that's something that it sounds like is an unfortunate trend for many surgeons and physician specialties across the US. When you think about the potential there for limiting access to care, is there anything that you see surgeons or patients are able to do, or do you have to just kind of advocate for those types of policies to be reversed?
So oftentimes it's advocating for the patient, but oftentimes some of the insurance companies, their policies aren't up to date. And because their policies aren't up to date, there are certain procedures that they won't pay for. And it's just the nature of the insurance companies who may not be up to date on the standard of care.
Got it. That makes a lot of sense. Well, Dr. Verma, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. This has been a really fascinating discussion. I learned a lot, and I look forward to connecting with you again in the future.
Great. Thank you for having me.